And that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit this morning. 2 weeks ago, we talked about making a fresh start and how we go about doing that, what we think of when we do that. And we talked about, we mentioned finances, but mainly we mentioned losing weight, trying to get in shape, because that's the thing that occurs to a lot of people. That's one of the most popular resolutions. But something that all of those things have in common is, and they're good. They're good things to try to lose weight, try to get in shape, try to have your finances and things like that in order are good things, but they all have something in common, and that's that they're external. And I think that we'll have a more beneficial, in fact, I know we'll have a more beneficial year if we try to focus on internal things. And what I mean by that is spiritual things. We can't go wrong with trying to focus more on our spiritual life than our physical life. So I don't know about 2010 and how that was for you. You might have had a very poor year. You might have had the worst year you've ever had last year. I don't know. It might be that you had some sickness. It might be that a loved one passed away this past year, or maybe had some relational problems or something of that nature. It might be that you were laid off. I know that a lot of people have been laid off recently. And so last year might have not been a good year. And on the contrary, last year might have been a great year for you. You might have got that job that you've always wanted. You might have got the promotion that you thought you were entitled to a long time ago, maybe. Everything might have gone your way last year. But my point is, whether or not you had a good year or a bad year last year, last year's over with, isn't it? It's memories now, and that's all it is. And we're in a brand new year this year. What I want us to focus on, a very short sermon, I promise, Daniel, it'll be short. I want us to focus on what can the Lord do with me this year? This is a brand new year. What can the Lord do with me and through me in His work and in His service this year? There are so many possibilities. I can't believe that it's almost the end of the first month already. But we're still at the very first of the year, and there are so many possibilities that we can have this year. So many things that we can do for the Lord. And what I wanted to do this morning is just point out just a few of those shortly. Some possibilities, some things that we can do this year if we put our heart and our mind into it. The first one is, this could be the year of redemption for you. This could be the year that you accept salvation. I say this in the most loving and caring way that I possibly can, and I want you to know that this is something, this is a word of encouragement and nothing more, so please don't take it in the wrong way. But there are some that have been attending here, that have been coming here and assembling with these good brethren here and worshiping God here in this building for some time that have not yet obeyed the gospel. And I do not say that in a judgmental way by any means. I say that as a word of encouragement. It's not that we're any better. It's that you have not yet applied those things that are commanded by the Lord in order to receive salvation. And so this year could be the year, in fact, today could be the day that you put that belief into action. If you are here this morning, then that shows something right there, that you're interested in spiritual things. And it might be that you've always had the core belief of Jesus Christ being the Savior. You might have always believed in the Bible as being His Word, but you've never put that into action and actually obeyed the gospel. You know, that's part of the reason why I'm up here this morning. Every Sunday, Charles or I will get up here and preach a sermon, and some of it is words of encouragement, to bring to remembrance, to maybe give some warnings that are in Scripture. But one of the main reasons why I'm standing up here and why Charles stands up here every Sunday is to offer the gospel, to the gospel of salvation. Not that we have the power to give that, but we're wanting to encourage. And so this could be the year, this could be the day that you put your faith into action and that you obey the gospel. And certainly hope that it is. In order to do that, we've got to have an open heart. You know, we can believe in Jesus Christ, and we can have a good heart and be a good person, but we've got to have an open heart. Now, I saw a statistic the other day that was very shocking. Did you know that there's times in every one of our lives where we are more, that we will listen to the gospel and receive it more than any other time? Did you know that? There are times that we will listen more than other times. And this statistic that I found this last, or maybe week before last, said that 95% of the conversions that happen in the Church of Christ happen between the ages of 10 and 17. That's shocking. 95% of the conversions that happen in the Lord's church happen between the ages of 10 and 17. And if you looked at that graph, you would see it peaked up there in those teenage years, and then it fell back off and was next to nothing, and then it came back up in the mid to late 20s. It came back up just a little bit. Now, what does that tell us? That tells me that there are times where people will listen to the gospel, and usually when they're younger, than other times. And it might be because of someone in your life that is very influential and is a positive influence on you and has got you to thinking about spiritual things, and they're having that positive influence on you. It might be that you've had someone that is very close to you pass away, and that's caused you to put things in perspective and think about spiritual matters. It might be that that you're down about as low as you can go, what we say, hitting rock bottom, and you're looking for something. Or on the contrary, it might be that you're at the very top and about everything you've done has been a success, and maybe your business or whatever, and everything has been a success, and you're still missing something. For whatever the reason might be, there are times where your heart is more open than others. What about you this morning? Is your heart open to the gospel this morning? You've heard so many sermons about this. Are you ready to obey the gospel this morning if you haven't already? It takes more than just an open mind or open heart, and it's certainly more than just a feeling. It takes an open Bible, doesn't it? And this is something in Christianity that we've kind of laid aside because we go by feelings more than anything else. But to obey the gospel, you've got to open that book there. Now, I get so tired of people talking for God. Don't you? I think God thinks this. I think God feels this way. Have you ever heard that? The one I've heard the most is, I think God wants me to be happy. Have you heard that? I've heard that a lot of times. Someone living maybe in an adulterous situation or maybe just in a sinful situation. Well, I think I'm happy and I think God wants me to be happy. Well, we need to shove our feelings aside and what we think and open the book and see what it says. It's not a guessing game. It's not, well, what do I think? Well, what do you think that God thinks? What do you think that God thinks? It's not a guessing game. It's right there, and it's very plain. Now, I had some examples up there, and the Bible was so dark I had to get rid of them. I didn't know. I played with that for a little bit. But look at the book of Acts. Look at all those examples that are found there in that book, and example after example, the people do the same things. Now, they might be at different places in their spiritual life, but they do the same thing to receive the gospel, and you know what? They were saved and added to the Lord's church. Now, if we do what they did, we will be what they were. It talks about obeying the gospel. It talks about hearing. It talks about their belief. It talks about repentance of sin. And it talks about baptism in every single case. And it says that their sins were forgiven and that they were added to the Lord's church. So we receive the gospel, we receive salvation the same way today as they did back then. If we do those things, we will be what they were. We'll be saved and added to the Lord's church. It kills me to turn on the television set, and we do this sometimes on Sunday, and listen to a preacher or two, and maybe they have a great sermon, and they've got a lot of good biblical points, and they come to the end of that sermon, and they say something to the effect that, well, if you want to become a Christian, if you want to accept Jesus into your heart, if you want forgiveness of sins, then look at the screen, repeat after me, and they'll say some kind of prayer or some kind of something. Say this, and you'll receive salvation. I'm thinking, they know better than that. They've got to. You don't find that anywhere in God's Word. And so the encouragement this morning is open the Bible, please. Let's look at those examples. Let's look at that great commission that the Lord gave His disciples and see what we must do in order to receive salvation and do it. What a great way to start off the year. No better way. This could be the year that your son or your daughter obeys the gospel. Now think about that. That is the most exciting thing, I believe, that can happen in a parent's life is when your child comes up to you and says, I want to be baptized. I want to become a Christian. And I know that a lot of you have experienced that. That's a great feeling, isn't it? Great feeling. And what's bad is when we can't tell them. And that happens. What's bad is when we can't tell them what to do in order to be a child of God. We can tell them about how to do their English. We can tell them about how to do their math homework. We can tell them, we can show them how to shoot a three-pointer or how to swing a bat, but we can't tell them how to be a child of God. That's a shame. I know that everybody loves their child, and everybody is concerned with their well-being, and we want them to have a good education. We want them to have good friends. We want them to excel. We want them to have all the things that maybe we didn't have. We want them to have material things that they want, but the thing that we should want more than anything else is salvation. That's the number one thing. And I truly believe that if we focused on that a little bit more as parents, me included, that we'd see good results. Don't you? Make it your goal this year, if you have a child who is not a Christian, make it your goal this year to make sure that you teach them the gospel. And as the year is going by and they're playing sports and they're involved in different activities and they're doing different things and functions in school, and that's great and you did great in this, have you thought about obeying the gospel anymore? Because that's the number one thing. You know, and I truly believe that if our children know that that is the thing that we want for them more than anything else, and they see that in us, they see that because we're persistent about it, I believe we won't be disappointed. We can't go wrong with that. Let me encourage you this year to do that. Teach your children. Don't rely on me and Charles. Don't rely on the Bible class teachers. Do it yourself. They look up to you. Tell them about it. Ask them about it. This could be the year of restoration. You know, it might be that you have already obeyed the gospel. You've been a Christian maybe for some time. Do you realize that when you did that you have a special relationship with Jesus Christ? When you obeyed the gospel, when you were baptized, you have a special relationship with Jesus Christ then and there. In fact, did you realize that that is a marriage? That is the type of relationship that you have with Jesus, that you're married to Christ? Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 7 and 2 Corinthians 11, the first three or four verses there. Think about the implication there. Think about a good, healthy marriage and what that has. Think about the love, the devotion, the commitment, something that our world doesn't like to think about, that commitment and faithfulness. And so when you obeyed the gospel, you were saying that I'm married to you and no one else, and you're number one to me. You're at the top, and I'm going to put you before anybody else. And it might be that you obeyed the gospel some time back, but you've been unfaithful to the Lord. Maybe you've been unfaithful in attendance, in worship service. And the first day of the week rolls around, you've read in your Bible how as Christians we are together on the first day of the week, and those Christians are gathered together everywhere across the world and partaking of the Lord's Supper, remembering Jesus and His sacrifice, and opening our Bibles and learning about spiritual things and being encouragement to one another by our presence and by our words. And you know that you need to be here, but for whatever reason, you're not. It might be that you've been unfaithful in that way. It might be that you've been unfaithful in your way of life. And that's very easy to do. It might be that you have have let thoughts come into your mind or words come out of your mouth or displayed certain actions that are not Christ-like. You can change that. You can change that this year. This could be the year that you rededicate yourself to the Lord. No better time than the present. John in 1 John chapter 1 makes a declaration through the Holy Spirit there in verse 8. He says that, and he's talking to Christians there, he says that we're all sinners. If you say that you have not sinned, you lie and deceive yourself. We're all sinners. Even those of us who have been forgiven of sin, we're all sinners because we slip up. So that puts us all in the same boat. But the very next verse there in verse 9, it says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Isn't that a blessing? And today you can do that. If you've wandered away from the Lord, today you have that opportunity to come rededicate your life to the Lord. This could be the year that your spouse comes back to the Lord. I know that there are some here that might sit alone because your husband or your wife is not with you. And our hearts go out to you. And I say this just to say a word of encouragement. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Continue to ask, continue to encourage, and continue to pray for them. You might get to that point where I've tried for years and they just don't want to listen to me. I ask them every single week and they just don't, and so you're just about ready to give up. Don't give up on them. Don't give up. This could be the year that they listen and that they come back. This could be the year that you overcome some sin in your life. Some sin that you've let back in your life. You know, the Bible talks about in Isaiah chapter 59 about how sin separates us from God. And it's not that we just slip and sin and we get back up, but sometimes when we get back into that way of life and we let sin have dominion over us, and it might be that you've let some kind of sin back into your life. And I don't know, you know if you have or not. This could be the year that you find the strength in the Lord to put that away. And you can say, I can remember back in 2011, that's when I stopped doing that. That sin had a hold on me. I had been doing that for years and years. And I laid it down that year. This could be the year that you do that. Third and last, this could be the year of renewal in your life or revival in your life. Does the church need revival? Does the church need to be renewed? Certainly, more than ever before. I heard something on the radio the other day that was shocking to me. It said that Christianity is growing less in the United States than it is any other country. Did you know that? Christianity is growing less here in America than anywhere else. Are we in a need for revival more than ever before? Think about your spiritual birth. Just think, go in your mind's eye, go back to that time when you obeyed the gospel and how excited you were. How on fire you were for the Lord. I can remember when I obeyed the gospel, I wanted to read constantly. I prayed continuously every day. Every gospel meeting that was being held, I wanted to be at. Every singing that was going on, I wanted to be there. And I was ready to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. And I walked around for the longest with a bunch of tracts and little pamphlets in my pocket. And I put those things about everywhere I went. And I felt good. Do you remember that? You know, it's tendency. It's not just me. It's not just you. It's the tendency for everyone to kind of let that fire die down a little bit. Just ask yourself a question. Are you as dedicated now as you were when you obeyed the gospel? Are you on fire as much now as you were when you first obeyed the gospel? And if not, why not? The Lord wants us to become renewed over and over again. Look at Romans 12 and verse 2 and what it says there. Romans 12 and verse 2. He says there, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't become like the world, but be changed by renewing of your mind. That word there, renewing, means to begin again. Or I like this definition for it, to restore to former state. How do you like that? To be restored to that former state. To be restored to the way you were when you first obeyed the gospel. Doesn't that sound good? That feeling, that liveliness. There's a need for renewal in the church today more than ever before. Some people know that, but they don't know what to do about it. Well, okay, I know that, but what do I do about it? The easiest thing is, and we sing a song, the kids sing a song, less of self, more of thee. It's that simple. It's not always simple to do. Less of me and my wants and my desires and my hobbies and my things, my way of thinking, and more of your way of thinking and your way of life. That's how we go about doing that. Do you remember the song in the songbook, Revive Us Again? Do you remember that? I don't know if we've sung that. I don't think we've sung that in a long time. Revive Us Again. You know, there is a need. It comes a point in all of our lives to where we need to stop being the same old Christian. And what I mean by that, we need to stop being the status quo and we need to reach for greater heights for the Lord. We need to bust out of that shell that we're in and that routine that we're in by coming here, worshiping, going home, going to work, coming here for Bible class, going home, and we don't really do anything. We don't do anything. And we need to bust out of that shell and do more. Be more involved. There's a need for that today more than ever before. What's your need this morning? Think of all the possibilities that you have this year, that this year holds for you. All the things that you could do this year for the Lord. All the things that the Lord can do through you this year. It might be that one of your needs is listed up here on the screen. It might be that you haven't obeyed the gospel. There's no better time than the present. You can look back and say 2011, at the beginning of the year, is when I obeyed the gospel. I had heard the news of salvation, but I finally decided to do something about it. And my life changed from that point on. That could happen for you today. Have you repented of sins, repented of that way of life, and been baptized for the forgiveness of sins? If not, we encourage you, do that. Do that today. It might be that you have wandered away, that you have not been as in love with the Lord now as you used to be. You're not on fire for the Lord anymore. Maybe you've let sin come back into your life. There's no better time than to put the Lord first in the present.